This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight, we are back from our Southern California trip. We went to the Newport Beach Brew Fest and had a pretty good time down there. And we will recount as much of it as we can remember. But we also have five different California beers to try tonight, ranging in a variety of different styles. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Jeff Miller from Pasadena, California, Andy Hamilton, and Kira Hopkins from up here in Sacramento. Hey, guys.
Good evening.
Hello, hello.
So before we get into our little recap of our trip to Southern California, anyone have any interesting beers this week?
I had one that I want to tell you guys about. And the only weird thing is we have another beer on this show from the same brewery, but it's the brewery. And earlier this week, I had probably the best beer that I've ever had from the brewery. It is it's called Blue BBLS. It is strong. It's 16.3%, but it was probably the smoothest beer I've ever had that was over, you know, 15 or 16%.
That all makes sense now.
Yeah, it was crazy, you know, delicious. It's a combination of sour stout and imperial stout, and then aged in bourbon barrels, and they add in blueberries. It was so good. So if you see that, it's not cheap, but I think it's very worth it for the cost.
Nice. Yeah, we have several different the brewery beers to try coming up, even and one later in the show tonight. But I was at OTP the other night, and I had from Avery, it's called Avery 23. It's their 23rd anniversary ale. They call it a wild specialty beer, and it is very dark in color, dark brown. It has kind of a purplish hue to it, and I wrote a description of it, put that description up on the website. But there was very little aroma, just kind of a slight Belgian yeast and maybe some dark cherry. But it is so sweet, super sweet, with a lot of like grape juice and cherry flavor. And then there's a lot of sour tartness that comes through in the aftertaste that keeps the sweetness from lingering around too long. But it was a really interesting beer. I don't know that I would want to drink a whole ton of it, but you know, one small glass was fine, and it was not at all boozy at 8.7%. So very good offering from Avery.
Sounds good. Avery makes some great beers. I mean, I haven't had a beer from them I don't like, so sounds really good.
So this one's the Davy Brown Ale. What is it? 6%. I've been pretty impressed with Figaro Mountain so far. The Hoppy Poppy IPA is really enjoyable.
I think a couple weeks ago, I talked about when I was at the tasting room and had, I forget what it was. I think it was called 10 Barrel or some like experimental hop IPA that they have. They make all good beers, and they have a couple different tasting rooms now. I mean, I've always had good beer from them. Color-wise, it's kind of reddish brown. It's a little more red than I was expecting for a brown ale.
Yeah, it's very light in color. It's almost amber, you know?
Pretty kind of thick, foamy, off-white head, khaki color.
Smell-wise, I get maybe just a hint of brown sugar, not a whole lot. Actually, kind of a dry hop aroma also. It's a little odd for a brown ale. You'd think it'd be a little more sugary, but it's not.
I think that comes through on the flavor as well. It's there's definitely like a brown sugar taste. But there is a little like kind of a dry hop finish.
It's pretty sweet. Not too sweet though, not like some brown ales, but there's definitely some, you know, malty sweetness to it. It's light. It's not super heavy. I mean, what did we say it was? 6%?
6%. I mean,
That is very drinkable. It's, I mean, this is like a sessionable brown ale. 6% is sessionable for me. I mean, it has like the roasted malt flavor that you would expect from, I think, from any brown ale, but it is light. I mean, it's, I'm not a huge brown ale fan, and I feel like I say that every time we have a brown ale, but this one is pretty tasty.
All right, so 2 weeks ago, Jeff and I went to the Newport Beach Brew Fest down in Newport Beach, California, and I went with Jeff and a couple of our good friends and tried a lot of different beers down there, and we wanted to recap the experience and the adventures that we had. Jeff, what do you remember from that, if anything?
Well, good question. So this is my second year going. I went last year with some friends, and I told you guys about it then. So it was cool that Dallas was able to come back this year. In terms of like the setting, I think it's the perfect setting. I mean, it's great weather. It's right on the beach. Technically, it's like a bay inland from the beach a little bit, but it's right on the water. I can't think of a better place to have a beer festival in terms of the setting. It wasn't huge. I mean, what would you say? Maybe like 50 breweries?
Yeah.
There? I'd say 50. It wasn't huge, but and we had plenty of beer. We didn't get to go everywhere, that's for sure. I remembered what I thought was interesting, you know, is mostly Southern California breweries, but it was kind of odd. Like there were very few LA breweries, which was odd to me for a Newport Beer Festival.
Yeah, it was in Newport. There is definitely more San Diego breweries there than LA breweries.
Yeah, it was kind of all over California. It was also interesting that there were several from Mexico.
Yes.
That there were at least three, maybe four, I think all from Tijuana or around that area. And those were actually some of the better breweries. So that was kind of cool to go to a beer fest with.
I mean, you'd think that a beer from Mexico is going to be kind of more like a Corona. That's what you have in your mind going into it. But that is definitely not the case. They are brewing strong IPAs, same style as in San Diego. I don't think I would be able to differentiate between a Mexican brewery and a San Diego brewery.
Yeah, and I want to do this. I haven't done it yet, but there's like brewery tours that you can leave San Diego, go down to Tijuana and go to several different Mexican breweries and just kind of compare. But it's kind of a booming craft beer scene just south of the border.
Yeah, we should look at doing that next time we're down in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, but you know, overall, lots of good beers. I mean, every place had, you know, kind of your standard two beers, and we really tried one or two at almost everywhere. You know, good tasting. There wasn't anything that completely like stood out. I think overall these, you know, Mexican breweries were the ones I mostly remembered.
I think San Fernando Brewery, they had a cucumber beer.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That was very interesting. And he's not a big fan of cucumber beers, but I think for a strange brew, that would do really well on this show.
And that was a brewery that I had never even heard of. And they had more than two beers. They had some really good beers. That was overall probably the best brewery.
I think so too. I think they had six beers there, and they were all really good. So sometime we got to go check out San Fernando at their brewery. We recorded some sound clips from our time down there. I listened back to them today. The music in the background is so loud that you can't really distinguish our voices from it. So it didn't turn out very good. So we're just going to recap it here on the podcast, and we'll have to just go with that.
Well, because, I mean, this is a beer festival, but there's also like a stage with live bands playing nonstop. It's kind of a music festival also.
It was like real bands. They're like, when you have Mighty Mighty Boston's, or who'd you have? Hoobastank?
Yeah.
Hoobastank. Hoobastank was there.
Yeah, the pretzel necklaces that we had were a huge hit. You know, I've seen that more and more at beer festivals. Lance made these.
Yes.
You know, Lance is our LA representative. He made these pretzel necklaces that are a huge hit at beer festivals. So I would highly recommend
it. It was great.
Yeah, good times. Overall, really, really solid beer fest.
Very fun. Okay, let's move into the next beer of the day. We're sticking to Southern California for this show. And we have one we've been waiting to try for a while. This is the Hangar 24 Chocolate Porter.
aged to perfection?
It's aged about 6 months in the beer of the day cellar. And we've been waiting to try this one. We did Hangar 24 double IPA, I think, two shows ago. Apparently, they changed the name of it already. So we put it up on the website, and the brewery pointed it out that it's no longer called that.
Which, by the way, I went to two different places this week that still have
We were there
the old version.
We were at Total Wine tonight, and they still have the double IPA. So Hangar 24, you should check on your distribution.
Yeah, Hangar 24, we appreciate you reaching out, but I was at Whole Foods and BevMo, and both still have the double IPA, not the, what they call it, Iconic double IPA now?
Iconic is the new double IPA.
Well, I haven't seen the new one. All right, so we got the chocolate porter. Pretty similar color to the Davy Brown, a little bit darker. Similar look, I mean, side by side, these would be pretty similar looking beers. The head looks pretty similar. It's khaki colored, pretty thick and foamy. Looks like it has some good lacing.
It does. It's not too dark. For a chocolate porter, I think that it's normally darker than this. I can see some light coming through.
Yeah, it's got that same kind of reddish.
It burns through the nostrils.
Something's wrong with this bottle. Has to be.
It literally came. I can feel burning sensation through my nostrils.
I think I got. I need to take my tetanus shot.
Mine's pretty good.
Oh no.
Whoa.
I think Dallas has had this one for a while.
It has, but it just there's something wrong with it.
Mine tastes great.
Mine tastes great.
No, not
at I really like this. I mean, there's some chocolate.
Jeff, you describe this.
I mean, this tastes what like a chocolate porter should taste like. It's got chocolate, a little vanilla. Very smooth and drinkable. What's the alcohol percentage?
8%.
Is it that high?
Yes.
8%. I would not have guessed that. It's got kind of that creamy mouthfeel. Some vanilla bean. Definitely some chocolate with the, you know, the roasted malty flavors.
I think I'd like to try this one in a newer, fresher batch.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the freshness or what, but this one's just not right. Does it, would you call it like a strong chocolate porter? I mean, 8% for a porter is high. Like, porters don't get that high.
I would not call it strong. I'm having a hard time really tasting the alcohol. I think it's extremely drinkable.
Yeah, so like even from a flavor standpoint, you'd call it lighter.
I would call it lighter. I think the mouthfeel, the body is pretty light for a porter. It's not watery, but it's kind of the same consistency as the Davy Brown. I really enjoy it. There's a lot of chocolate flavors, and I guess you would expect that from a chocolate porter.
Right.
But we have a lot of these beers that have chocolate in the name that are not the most chocolatey beers, and this is definitely a chocolatey one. I would almost call this like a dessert beer. This is something that I would have after a meal. Dallas, is yours still good, or is it not good?
I think we'll take a break. And when we come back, we have a strange brew from modern times, an apricot sour, and then a beer from the brewery, and another one from Claremont Craft Ales, one of our favorite breweries in Southern California. We'll be right back here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy this podcast and the Beer of the Day website and want to know how you can support us, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. We have a banner at the very top of the site that says top right hand
side. Beer of the Day by shopping on Amazon.
If you click that or you go to amazon.beeroftheday.com, it'll just redirect you straight to Amazon. You do your regular shopping and then we get a little percentage of what you spend. It does not cost you anything more. The prices don't go up. It's the same old Amazon as you're used to, but we get a little bit of commission and that helps us pay for everything that we use on this show and on the website. That's the web hosting, our email service that we use to send out the Beer of the Day emails each day, our SMS service where we send a text message with the Beer of the Day to your phone. There's all the beers that we have on the show and all the podcasting equipment. There's a ton of expenses.
And by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, you help us out a lot. For example, just today, somebody bought Hill Science Diet Jerky Dog Treat Bag, 7.1 ounces. Apparently, one of our listeners has a fat dog that needs diet jerky treats.
That was for me, actually. It's cheaper than buying regular beef jerky.
So, from that purchase, we received 24 cents, and we're going to take that 24 cents and put it towards beer on a future program. So, thank you very much for that. Also, you can help us by telling a friend about our show. We are a relatively new podcast. This is only our 32nd episode.
46th.
Not even a full year yet.
46th.
And
now
we grow by you letting your beer drinking friends know about us. So if you have a friend that likes craft beer, show them how to download the podcast on their phone or just send them the link to beerofthedaypodcast.com. And that's going to help us out as well. All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. This is our Strange Brew segment where we find the strangest beer that we could find that fits the theme of the show. And that theme today is Southern California beers. So we have a Southern California strange brew for you. What is it, Andy?
So we have the Modern Times Sour Apricot Gosa. It's called Fruitlands Apricot. Now, I'm a fan of all things apricot. I don't know if you know this. We don't talk about it often in our normal circle of friends, but anything apricot, I'm a fan of. I haven't had an apricot beer yet that I've enjoyed, though. So I'm looking for one.
This is seasonal, by the way. So Modern Times makes this beer 3 times per year, but each time it's a different fruit. So right now it's apricot. Some other time during the year, I don't know when, it's like passion fruit or something. And then it's also like a dark sour cherry. So we're going to try the apricot one. And then maybe on a different show, we'll have the next one.
So aroma, color first. It's kind of light and cloudy. It's opaque, I guess would be the word.
Hazy. I think it's pretty cloudy.
A little hazy looking.
Like a thin white head on it. It looks like a Belgian style ale. Looks like a lot of those Game of Thrones Omegang beers we've tried recently.
Kind of a whitish yellow color.
Yeah, very, very light in color.
On the aroma, I get a little sour and a little apricot, but not a lot as far as that goes.
I really like the aroma. If I just smelled this, I'd say, wow, this is going to taste great.
A little funkiness to it on the aroma. Let's see how it tastes.
I don't get a ton of apricot.
No,
it's there. It's subtle, but it's not overwhelming with apricot.
I mean, yeah, but the sourness I think kind of overwhelms it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you really want to taste the apricot, you need that in a non-sour or non-gosa a beer. One thing I get with gosas that you don't get with like naturally sour beers, you know, this is a kettle soured beer where they do the souring process and during the brewing. They get very acidic. There's a lot of like citric acid, you know, feeling going on. Like I get heartburn. I get the acid reflux thing going on.
You guys think this is salty? I mean, it's a little tart, but compared to some of the other ghosts I've had, it's not the saltiest.
Well, it shouldn't be salty.
Well, like maybe briny, you know, more than apricot. I get other fruits, like maybe green apple, maybe like the tartness from a green apple.
Yes. It's very tart.
If I had to name a fruit, it wouldn't be apricot. I mean, green apple is the most dominant fruit flavor I get. And I think it's a little tart, a little acidic, like Andy said. But I think it's really tasty. I mean, it's very refreshing. I could drink this a lot.
It's like because Sierra Nevada decided to come out with Otra Vez, it's like the year of the Goza. This is better than Otra Vez for sure.
I agree.
I mean, quite a bit better. This is actually a little bit of that tartness, sour, that you want in a sour beer. It's pretty flavorful.
I think it's more fruity than Outrevase. I mean, Outrevase has that like cactus flavor, which is good, and I liked Outrevase. But this just has a lot more fruitiness to it that I enjoy a little bit more. And I think Outrevase was a little more tart and a little more sour. This is a little more mild and more drinkable.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. On the website, beerthedaycom, TMD5150 wrote, "One of the best double IPAs I've ever had. It's strong, smooth, and citrusy, with medium bitterness, lots of great aroma, and flavor in this true double IPA." And he wrote this about Asterisk Double IPA. It's a brewery called Melvin Brewing from Jackson, Wyoming. And TMD is from Idaho Falls, Idaho. So thanks for your comment, TMD, and keep posting. You know, I've never had Asterisk Double IPA before, and now I know that a beer exists in that region of this country, and I'll have to be sure to seek it out next time I'm up in that area. Oh, Buckeye Nut, our buddy Rich posted again. "Sorry I missed the crew in Seattle. Really wishing that Hazelnut Brew had been tapped. Anyone in Portland around 6:10 for PBXBeerWeek.com? Question mark. I worked out our vacation schedule to put us in Portland during a beer festival. We'll also be hitting Vancouver, Seattle again, and Cannon Beach, Oregon. Any brewery suggestions in any of those places would be welcomed. Hoping you all got a little kickback from my movie screen purchase on Amazon through Beer of the Day. Keep the podcast and beer flowing. Thanks." Thanks, Rich. Rich posts every single week, and wow, that's great and all. There's a lot of listeners to this podcast, hundreds of them, and we love to hear from everybody. So just go to beerthedaycom and post your comments.
Any suggestions for Portland or Seattle?
Fremont.
Fremont and Seattle for sure. I just was there a couple weeks ago. Excellent, excellent brewery. A Black Raven, cool vibe. Great thing about Seattle, though, is you can go to any of the bars and you're going to have a nice selection. And Portland is pretty much the same way. But if you're in Portland, you have to go to Cascade. That's my...
I enjoyed Cascade.
Especially if you like sours. I mean, that is the place to go.
The raspberry? Or
Black Cap Raspberry.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good beers
there. That was an amazing
there.
One. We had a nice little sampler platter, and it was delicious all the way around.
And we went to a lot of good breweries in Portland. We'll take a look at our notes and make some suggestions for sure. All right, next beer. This is from Claremont Craft Ales. This is the Single Dude Single IPA.
Single Dude, one of our favorite Southern California breweries.
So Claremont, you know, we've done a show there. I haven't had a beer from them that I didn't like. And when they have 25 beers on tap, that's saying something.
We tried them all, and we liked them all.
Pretty amazing place. And the coolest thing is that the guys, Brian and Nick, they're just regular dudes that opened a brewery and started brewing beer. And, you know, just regular guys. They're not, you know, no pretentious atmosphere. It's a great place to go.
I love the aroma on this.
Wow.
Right? Now, this is pretty fresh. So Dallas and I got this at the brewery 2 weeks ago. And I think there's a date on here. So it was brewed April 13th. Less than a month old. I mean, that's when it was bottled. I'm sorry. April 13th.
It's May 7th right now as we are recording this.
The aroma is awesome. I mean, it's a very clear-colored, golden-colored IPA. Pretty light color for an IPA. With like a very white head. But the aroma is, it just, that's the...
It's one of the, it's one of those aromas where I don't have to put my nose to the glass to smell it.
Yeah.
It's very potent.
It's hoppy. It's a fresh hop flavor. It is. You know, we just had an apricot beer, and there's an apricot smell to this.
What's the like creamy smell in this beer?
Creamy?
Like I get, I know creamy is not really a smell, but I smell this and it, it's a, like tropical. I don't know if it's like tropical hop flavors, but there's like a, an aroma to this that smells creamy to me.
And I was picking up orange and lemon, so.
Orange, lemon, apricot is what I get. But you're right. It is a fresh hop aroma.
Like without calling, like without saying it's as distinct as this, like the orange sickle. Like the, if you could imagine that as an aroma.
The creamsicles or whatever.
Orange creamsicle, that's what I meant. Yeah.
It's such a solid IPA. I love hop forward IPAs, and that's what this is. It's quite fruity as well. So you get a lot of the orange and apricot fruit flavors on the taste.
So this is a it's a citra hopped IPA, but there's like a really thick malt backbone here. And I remember talking with them. They use Pale Two Row for pretty much everything they do, other than Jacaranda. They add some rye. But this is a, for a citra IPA, this is so different from what we experience from most breweries. I mean, everybody's doing a citra IPA now. This is not the same as those.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Like their beers are just unique. I don't know what it is. But even like Jacaranda tastes different from other rye IPAs. There's something about it. I actually get more like tropical fruit flavors from this. There's some citrus, but I get more like, I want to say like mango or other guava, maybe passion fruit. These like tropical fruit flavors. But I think what's good about this too is the mouthfeel. It's this the carbonation in the mouthfeel. It's different from most IPAs. And it almost tastes like a canned beer. And most of their beers that we've had have been canned, but the carbonation tastes like a canned beer.
I mean, you know, we always praise them so much, but it's, you know, they haven't failed us yet. You know, I'll review any beer and I'll say what I really feel about it. But to this point, Claremont has not disappointed.
Definitely not. All right, let's move into the next beer. We have a beer from the brewery called Eau de Tarte with cherries, 7.5%. Jeff and I have been to this brewery. Andy went there too. It's in Orange County in Placentia, California. And when we went there, there was an overwhelming amount of beer, so many beers to try. They had at least 20 different beers. 11% or higher.
Yes. It was ridiculous.
There's no way you could do a tasting. You try a flight of six beers, and we each did six, so 18 beers that we tried. And the beers are so high in alcohol content, it's tough to even distinguish them after a while. It was a little bit rough.
Yeah, we were a little worse for the wear. At least I was that day. But
I definitely was.
It was tough to find beers that I really enjoyed, honestly. That was the tough part. But in general, brewery beers, I really like. I did pick things that I had never had before just because I wanted to try something new.
You obviously want to try ones that you haven't had.
But I think my favorite was they had the Eau de Tarte with blueberries or blackberry. I don't remember. That was my favorite. So I'm actually looking forward to this beer a lot.
What, and I feel like they do this kind of random experimental stuff. Like they throw in all these crazy ingredients and they have a huge following. I mean, the brewery is, I think, one of the most popular breweries in Southern California. And they do all this kind of abstract, funky stuff. They're known for their really high alcohol content beers. I mean, there's not a lot of breweries that you can go to where they have so many beers that are like 14, 15, 16, 17% alcohol. And they make them, I mean, some are boozy and hard to drink, but, you know, maybe some are smooth and very drinkable. So Lance gave us this and a few other ones from the brewery. And this is the 2016 version. And these are, I think a lot of these just came out. So we have this and we have a few other ones for some future shows that Lance acquired for us. And I think they will age pretty well, but... You know, like this is a fruit beer. I think fruit beers, like they'll probably age well, but I like to drink them pretty fresh as well. So I'm interested to try this because I've never had this one before. to my knowledge. We had a lot at the brewery that day. I don't remember if we had this or not.
So, just right off the bat, aroma, I get like a
sour,
a cherry licorice.
It's very sour cherry is what I'm picking up.
I don't get the sour as much.
I do. I get a lot of sour.
It's like smacking me in the face, sour cherry.
You guys are all wrong.
It's just an aroma of like fermentation.
Yeah, definitely. It's
that's got, what I smell.
Definitely.
You know, I smell the oak barrel process and the cherries, but I just smell like fermented something.
It's definitely
fermented fruit.
Dallas doesn't like it.
It's a kick in the mouth, sour cherry.
It's so sour. God.
It literally hits you. As soon as it hits the tongue, it hits you.
Why do this?
Wow.
It's like this a sour candy.
I thought last week Almanac was sour, but no, it's not. Almanac is very tame compared to this. This is really sour.
It's like a cherry version of like a lemon head.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. I don't know that I could drink a lot of this beer, but no. I could drink this much.
A couple sips, and that's about it.
So any underlying flavors you get? Have you tasted it yet, Jeff?
I mean, there's some dark fruit. There's for sure cherry, but maybe there's some other like dark fruit flavors.
I can't get
it's
past it.
It's hard to get much else.
On the show last week, Andy made a great point where he said, if you're going to drink sour beers, you should drink them all night long. You can't be switching between IPAs and porters and then a sour because it's such a huge transition that if you go sour, 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 then you're going to be able to distinguish some different flavors.
I can see that. Going from IPAs to stouts, then over to sours, there's quite a bit of difference.
It's just palate shock is all it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's too much. You need to stick to kind of the similar beers if you're going to be doing that.
You know, it's sour, but after a few sips, there's a little sweetness too, like some subtle sweetness in the finish.
Yeah, there's a lot of sweetness.
I mean, this is one you share with your friends. You can't sit down and drink this bottle yourself.
No way.
So the bottle says it's leathery. Do you guys get leathery at all?
Nope, not at all.
No.
I mean, it's definitely a Flemish style, like sour red ale. It's interesting. This is what I feel like a lot of their beers are like. Right?
I agree. I kind of remember that. It's funny because it's such a like fine line to play with sour beers that like we've talked about Cascade. They kind of do it right where it's the perfect balance between sour and flavor. I feel like this and a lot of the brewery beers is just overpowering sour. They're just trying to nail you with sour.
All right, let's recap the beers we've had tonight and figure out what our favorite beer of the day was. Andy?
So starting off, we had the Davy Brown Ale from Figaro Mountain. Then we had the Hangar 24 Chocolate Porter, the Fruitlands Apricot from Modern Times, and the Single Dude from Claremont Craft Ales. And we finished it off with the Eau de Tarte with Cherries from the brewery.
A lot of good choices. I'm going to spin the wheel and we'll see who will go first. I hope it's not me.
It is you.
It is me. And I am going to select the Single Dude IPA from Claremont. This is just a solid IPA. It's a drinkable one. I could drink it all day long. It has a great hop flavor, but it's very hop forward, but it also has a lot of fruit on the flavor also. So it's not too bitter. There's a little sweetness there, but there's still a lot of that hop punch that I like. I had this at Claremont the other day, and I really liked it, and I like it even better now out of the bottle. We also got the Double Dude and the Triple Dude that we brought back, and we're going to do those on a future show. Jeffrey.
Well, I agree. It's a tough decision. I love the Single Dude IPA. I agree with everything Dallas said. What stood out with the show for me is we had so many different styles of beers, and I can say that the Claremont one was one of the best IPAs I've had. the Hangar 24 Chocolate Porter is maybe the best like chocolate type of beer I've had. But overall, I got to pick the Modern Times Fruitlands.
What?
Fruitlands, yeah.
So you don't, you don't agree with everything Dallas said. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I agree with Dallas in that I really like the Claremont IPA. But what it comes down to for me is for the style, I think the Modern Times beer is probably the best Gosa that I've ever had. And I really liked the flavors. It's only 4.8%, but I liked all the different flavors I picked up on. I enjoyed that beer a lot. I mean, I enjoyed all these beers, but for me, that was the one that stood out as the best representation of the style. And so I'm going to pick that as my beer of the day.
Nice.
Interesting. So the beer I was most looking forward to tonight was the Eau de Tarte from the brewery. My beer of the day, however, is the Single Dude IPA from Claremont. I mean, it's just such a well-balanced IPA. It's an easy drinker. It's what I want out of an IPA. It's not overly bitter. It's not overly malty, but it has a solid hop. It has a solid malt backbone with a nice hop aroma and hop flavor. Just a really great IPA. Kira?
So I kind of came in not knowing entirely what I was going to be anticipating, I guess, which one I'd like best. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping for kind of the sour cherry because I've become kind of addicted to sours lately. Unfortunately, it was a little too sour for me. So I have to go with the Single Dude.
That's right.
IPA as well. I think it's just something I can drink all day and be comfortable with drinking. It's just an easy, simple one to drink as far as the taste, well balanced. I don't know. I like it.
I agree.
Best aroma out of any beer.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. It was like the time we had Simtra where we opened the bottle and you could smell it across the room. There's not very many beers that do that. IPAs and otherwise, there's just not that many.
Very few.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
All right, that will close out our show for tonight. We recapped our trip to Southern California, the Newport Beach Brewfest, and we got to try 5 different Southern California beers. And hopefully we did an okay enough job on that. Next week, we are going to expand our horizons a little bit and move out of the Southern California area. I'm not exactly sure what it will be, but it will be entertaining. I can guarantee you that. And we'll see you then. For Andy Hamilton, Kira Hopkin, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time here on the Beer of the Day podcast.